This is 7:18, and it's time for our weekly Power Savers chat with Adrian from DMS Energy. Hello, mate.
How you going, Darren?
Going very well. We can't avoid it. Everyone's talking about it because we need it. Fuel prices.
Exactly. And, you know, look, we've had a discussion a few times over the years about every single thing that we do has some sort of energy input cost. Even pouring the milk on your breakfast Weet-Bix has an energy journey. You know, you've got the grass grown for the cows. Okay, we're mostly using the sun for that, but there was fertiliser involved. You need fertiliser to make the grass grow. A lot of energy goes into producing and transporting and spreading that fertiliser. During summer, those fields can be under heavy irrigation to enable the grass to grow. There is an energy input in milking the cows, another in cooling the milk down, another in transporting to the processing plant, and even more energy to homogenise and pasteurise the product.
Hmm.
It's poured into a plastic jug that's made out of crude oil. You know, so plastic's made out of basically oil.
Yep.
It took energy to make that. It's transported to the supermarket. You drove to the supermarket to purchase it, and apart from a brief time it's in your car, it's under refrigeration the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, if we just broke down that one thing like milk to the smallest detail, you would easily have over 100 energy inputs or more into the product. You just under the lid and slosh on your Weet-Bix.
Mm.
And like Darren, I don't know, you just try and eat a Weet-Bix without milk.
No, thank you.
No, that's a task so fraught with danger, you nearly need a safe word. But the point being is every single thing we do and use has an energy input. So soaring fuel prices are going to impact us severely in many ways and that we're not going to have any chances of avoiding.
Well, they're not really going to. They are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, look, EV and hydrogen cars are going to be part of the long-term answer, but they cost a bomb. They're not readily available. And in some cases, they're not fit for purpose for the tasks that we use internal combustion engines for. They're just not, you know, trucks and buses and things like that. But we're not completely helpless. There is things we can do to keep the immediate fuel costs or their impacts lower, especially in how we use and maintain our vehicles. So today, we're going to look at what we can do to help reduce our fuel costs. Now, fuel has risen over by 100% recently, and it's set to continue rising. So let's see if we can pare that back a bit. What do you think the number one neglected issue is for cars and fuel economy, Darren?
Neglected?
Yeah, what do you
tyres.
Tyres, you're dead right.
Mm.
Underinflated tyres can increase your fuel consumption by around 10%. And we're all guilty of just doing a splash and dash at the servo and not checking our size and tyres inflation and leaving it just to be done between, you know, engine services. The problem is car tyres only do one thing once fully inflated, and that's lose air over time.
Yep.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how often you use the car or what sort of tyre you got or whether it's tubed or tubeless. Tyre pressure only goes one way and that's down. So we just saved 10%, so what's next? Clean the boot out and the back seat out.
Yeah, lessen the weight.
Yeah, a bad habit is leaving stuff in the boot or on the back seat. The golf clubs that rattle around the boot for months at a time. It's all excess weight and it all consumes fuel. So there's about 2% we've saved. So we're at 12% saving so far. We've only got 88% to go, and we've got back that 100% rise. The faster you drive, the more wind resistance you have. So more friction, you burn more fuel. Just for example, a car will burn 15% more fuel at 100 kilometres per hour than it does at 90 kilometres per hour, and 25% more fuel at 110 kilometres per hour than it does at 90. So now we're not doing 120 kilometres per hour on the highway. We've saved you another 25%, so we've got 63% to go.
Yeah.
Now, a few small things we can do as well. Accelerate smoothing instead of quickly. Stop jumping on the gas. Avoid aggressive braking. Allow the vehicle to roll into the corner, shedding speed, instead of driving into it and hitting the anchors and then driving back out of it. So plan your trips. This is quite important. Predict what you are likely to encounter. If you got stuck in front of a school, then there's a fair chance that the same thing's going to happen to the same at the same time and location tomorrow as well.
Hmm.
You know, leave earlier or take a different route. Don't drive your windows down. Exceedingly thirsty on your car. Adds to the air resistance.
Yeah.
Use cruise control. Cruise in top gear. If you get stuck in roadworks, turn the engine off if you're going to be stopped for more than 3 minutes. You know, if you do all those things, you're looking around another 10% or more. So that takes us to 53% to find a solution for.
Right, eh?
Right. Anyone listening on the car radio right now, take a quick look at the cars around you. How many people are in the bulk of those vehicles?
One.
The bulk of the cars have one person in them,
mm.
and they're all heading in the same direction.
Yeah.
Ride share with colleagues. if you can just find one person to ride share with and you go turn about, well, that's a 50% reduction in your total costs and theirs. It's right there. If there's three of you, that's a 75% reduction in all your costs. Ride sharing is an obvious answer to and from work, and I suspect as we get closer to that $3 per litre mark.
It's the Australian way, isn't it? We've always done that, driven cars.
Yep.
With one person in them, just the driver, and as you say, everyone going in the same direction, one person in each car, nearing $3 a litre. We really need to rethink that.
Yeah, every day I see cars on the road, and the vast majority of them only have one person in them, so it's, and they're already in the same direction. So it's an easy solution, you know. But these hikes in prices have also shone a light on the precarious fuel security we have in this country.
Mm.
And why we need to push harder and faster to electrify the bulk of our transportation systems.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. So thinking of an electric vehicle, or need an electric vehicle charger, or even better, an electric vehicle charger energised by the sun. You know, nothing better than free.
Yeah.
Call DMS Energy on 1300 502 599 and we can sort you out. DMS Energy is the North West Coast's leading solar installer and energy efficiency experts. And while we can lower your power bills, we can also give you resilience to weather out tough times. And I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet, just
unfortunately not. And, yeah, well, it's sort of a new strand to your business, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, putting batteries on the size of houses and the batteries, you know, powered by solar, and then you drive your electric vehicle in, plug it into the side of your house, and away you go.
Exactly. It all makes sense. And so the only good thing about high fuel prices, it actually makes alternative vehicles, like electric vehicles and things like that, cheaper.
Yeah, seem more appealing. Yep.
Exactly.
All right, DMS Energy, they're at 56 Sheffield Road, Sprayton, which is the blue building just as you head out of Sprayton towards Sheffield on the right-hand side. Can't miss it. Got solar on the roof. And what's your phone number and website there, mate?
It is 1300 502 599. The website is all the W's, dmsenergy.net.au, or you can find us on Facebook. And if you've got any questions you want answered on the Power Savers, we'd love to hear from you.
Good stuff. Talk to you next week.